G'day and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilos or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss now for over a year. I wanted to bring this series of podcasts to you to give you an insight into what that journey has been like. I also wanted to give you some information about intermittent fasting, talk to people that are doing it, and bring in some experts in the field, including some leading authors of some great books about the subject. Talk about the highs, the lows, the triumphs, the celebrations, the negatives, the positives, and everything in between. Nothing is a silver bullet, as they say, but intermittent fasting is about the closest thing that you can get to a perfect health plan with a side effect of weight loss. So sit back in the next few weeks and enjoy life on the fasting highway with us. Thank you. G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway, and this is episode 10. So I'm delighted this week to have with me Isa Himu, and Isa Himu is from Bristol in the United Kingdom. And Isa found intermittent fasting and lost a staggering 40 kilograms over 2 years, and life got in the way and she stopped intermittent fasting and she found she regained quite a bit of that weight. Now, Isa has returned back to intermittent fasting in 2020 in March of this year, and has described finding IF again and like meeting up with an old friend. So here to tell us all about her incredible journey so far is the delightful Isa. Oh, g'day, Isa, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much. I'm actually in the midst of a long fast today, so I have my trusty water with me.
Oh, fantastic. So, Isa, we just heard your intro there, and what I'll do is I'll just get you to give us a bit of your backstory and some of any of the issues you've had with weight in your life and what actually led you up to finding out about intermittent fasting.
Okay. To be honest, I've been heavy my entire life. By the time I was 10 years old, I was already teetering at like 70 kilos at 10, 11, 12. So I was pretty much a big child my entire life. So I thought it was something I would be my entire life. And because I had my weight issues, I decided I should develop my personality. You know what I mean? Just finding other ways to excel in life, but always in the background thinking I would never be able to lose this weight. I would always be not overweight. I was actually pretty obese my entire life. What changed was 5 years ago, before I found intermittent fasting, I was a typical feeling millennial where I would easily find food by delivery, by going downstairs to the vending machine. Food is so easily accessible right now in this day and age. So I was able to find food and I was just constantly eating. I was eating for comfort. I was eating for fun. I was just eating. And I think that really attributed to my weight gain. It wasn't much my choices. It was just that I was constantly eating, you know. Even before I slept, I would eat. When I woke up, I would eat. I was just one of those kind of people, you know. So not surprisingly, around 4 years ago, I ballooned to about 110 kilos. And that was my heaviest weight. I was walking up stairs in my house. I had just bought a new house. I was feeling proud of myself. So technically, I felt I had it all. I had a good career. I was dating someone. Everything seemed to tick the boxes except the one important thing, which was my health and my physical appearance. You know, in this day and age, women are always having that thing in their mind where if you don't look good, perhaps you're not whole. I didn't really feel that way, but I could see in the mirror I was very bloated. And I think the straw that broke the camel's back, or that, you know, that is that the expression, was when I was walking up the stairs in my house. It was just one flight of stairs, ladies and gentlemen, and my knees hurt. I was barely 30 and my knees hurt. I was like, ow. I couldn't even go up the stairs properly. My clothes weren't fitting, and I realized I needed a change. And that's when it started the launch of every diet imaginable, guys. I won't name the brands, but I joined everything, if you could just name it. I joined calorie-restricted diets. I joined any kind of fad diet that there was, name it, and I tried it. I paid memberships, clubs, to lose the weight. But I would lose the weight for a while, but I would regain it. So I had a very unhealthy cycle of about 2 years of just doing everything but intermittent fasting. I even went through a day through a week where I just had eggs, for example, eggs only meal, you know, and all of my friends were just, I'm for a Filipino. I was very big built because most Filipinos are very petite at 5'4" and under and small builds. So I was just used to being the so-called Amazon in the group and wearing UK size 20s, you know, and on and so forth. Until one day, I'm a workaholic, and one day I stopped eating just because I was having one of those long days at work, and I felt better. The cloudiness, the fogginess I always had, the constant wanting to chew something wasn't there, and I wasn't sure what it was, but it was just that for a while I had stopped eating for more than usually I had constantly food in my hand. But for the first time, I realized I hadn't eaten something for about, 10 hours. I was thinking, why do I feel not hungry when I'm constantly hungry? And I started thinking maybe I should look into this phenomenon of me not feeling hungry and not feeling like I needed to chew on something. So I searched online, and as everyone knows, as everyone does, I found a fasting blog on Facebook called Jen Stephens. The author was Jen Stephens. I found her blog first, to be honest, and I started reading all the things about intermittent fasting. I'm like, that's not possible. How can you not eat for more than 4 hours?
Yeah.
It was unknown to me, Graham. Like, how can you not eat beyond 1 hour? 2 hours, 3 hours. I couldn't believe it, you know. So it was a big breakthrough in my head. I started reading all of these things about pausing, you know, and the science behind intermittent fasting. I bought her book online. The first book, Delayed Don't Deny, I bought that. And then I started reading her blogs. I wasn't fasting, by the way. I was just reading everything. I was trying to absorb. So isn't that journey where you're just reading before jumping into it? I've been there. I took about 6 months before I started fasting for real because I was just reading and I couldn't really wrap my head around it as someone who has constantly been eating, you know, and just eating and enjoying the food so much. But one thing I realized was I could deny it. I could fast now and feast later. And as someone who cannot cook, I'm blatant about that. One reason, one thing, fasting became easy for me, Graham. Yeah. You can't cook, really? You look so good at what you're cooking, Graham.
Oh, I'm an amateur that's trying, Isa. That's about it.
Really? I was looking at all your food posts and thinking, wow, look at those lobsters. I love that. So I can't cook. Because it's in the Philippines, it's really easy to get convenient food that's already cooked, you know, and at a cheap price. So I was living off that, basically. And one day I decided, okay, let me just try not eating and just trying. I first tried with 16:8. My first day, Graham, I broke at like 10 hours. I was like, no, I can't do this. And the second day and the third day, and it took me a long time. That's why I said I'm an amateur faster, because the first year I tried intermittent fasting, I was such a failure. I wouldn't even go past 16 hours. I was still, you know, years, I don't know, Graham, if it happened to years of just eating constantly. It was just so hard to break my mindset.
It is.
It was so hard. Yeah. Did it happen for you? But after a year, I finally started getting 10 hours, then 11 hours. I built up adding 30 minutes every day until finally I was constantly at even 12, 13, 14. And it was amazing for me to get to 16 hours. And, you know, I didn't have much weight loss, to be honest, when I first started. I didn't have much weight loss because I was still waiting to experience appetite correction. But I was starting to feel better internally because aside from that, I had acne. I had very bad adult acne and hormones. And my doctor did actually tell me, why not? Why not try intermittent fasting? And I was like, no, I can never do that. You know? No, I was like, no, I can never do that. I had another doctor who told me not to do intermittent fasting, by the way. She was like, no. And this is the doctor I want to get back to, because she was really skinny and thin and all of that. And I went for my annual physical checkup in 2017. I went in. And I was at my biggest weight, to be honest. I was like, at that point, I had lost some weight with intermittent fasting. From 110 kilos, I had gone down to about 98 kilos. But of course, it was still pretty massive. And she was like, oh, you should just eat better. You should eat three times a day. You know, the normal, the normal, you know, eat three times a day, eat vegetables, eat this, eat that. So she gave me a diet program. And I took it home in 2017. And you know what? It didn't work. It was May of 2017 when I finally stumbled onto the Facebook group. I didn't have that before. So I went onto the Facebook group, and that's when I realized, oh, wow, there's so many real people. There was a Facebook which supported this. And I was like, there's so many real people facing my issues. And that strengthened me to keep going. So I found out about the clean fast, because it turned out I wasn't clean fasting, Graham. I was just drinking a lot of things, but I wasn't clean fasting. Yep. I was drinking water. I was drinking soda. I was drinking this. I was drinking that. So I wasn't eating, but I was still drinking everything under the sun. So really, my journey with intermittent fasting was really long before I actually hit some smidgen of success. But when I started clean fasting in 2018, because in 2017 I ballooned because I was traveling a lot with work. As I said, I travel a lot for work. In 2018 I had ballooned so much, and finally I decided enough was enough, so I lost the weight. So when I lost the weight through intermittent fasting, it was so easy. I couldn't believe how easy it was, because all I had to do was stop eating for 16 hours and then 19 hours. And what was crucial was I cut alcohol out. I cut alcohol out and I started, but I ate everything else in my window. Even sugar. And I quickly lost a lot of the weight in 2 years. So I was happy. I lost the weight. Everything was good. But then everyone, as you know, Graham, I got cocky. I was thinking, I'm now 60 plus kilos. From 98 kilos, I lost about 30 kilos. So I was only about 68. And I looked, for what I felt, I looked the best I ever did in my life.
Incredible.
I started getting all these compliments. Without exercise, Graham, I was able to just, you know, I walked, of course, but it wasn't like I was doing hardcore exercising. I think my body's hormones were just telling me, stop eating, you know, take a little break, enjoy life.
So a couple of questions Isa. In that initial period when you had the acne and the knee pain, how soon did you sort of notice that disappearing once you started doing intermittent fasting?
Here's my journey. I'm actually, as you know, I'm a rebounder of intermittent fasting. Yep. The first time it was within 6 months, actually. It took about 6 months, but my acne started to clear up. My knee pain started to join, and then I started losing the weight. The weight was steadily lost after I had the weight loss, after acne was cleared up. And I swear, I was a pizza face, Graham. At like 30, I had adult acne. It was so embarrassing. But it was about 6 months. But then you see, I got cocky, as I said. I stopped intermittent fasting, and I thought I had solved my life problems. So around August of 2019, that's when I stopped intermittent fasting.
Yep.
And as we all know, as I know myself, it was embarrassing because I gained almost everything back. And my acne came back, my knee pains came back, my inflammation came back, my bloating came back, all my clothes were not fitting. And I had gained back not everything, but a majority of the weight that I had lost.
And did you find that you had
this
that,
year?
Rabid sort of food sort of loss of control, and you just had that massive appetite. Did that come back again when you stopped intermittent fasting and you got back into that groove when you regained the weight? Was it the same or was it less than before?
No, no. I still had that rabbit thing, but what is when I started losing the weight again in March 2020, I went back to intermittent fasting. I was like, why did I stop? So lockdown happened, and then from eating constantly again, I started again. And it was easier the second time around. I agree that previously it had taken me 2 years, for example, my previous loss. But then I think, like an old friend, I knew what intermittent fasting was this time. My mind was easier to it was easier to get my mind around it. And within a month or so, yeah, it was easier for me to control the urges once I started intermittent fasting again. So it was less hard the second time around, to be
Yeah,
honest.
so you had those
And I
tools
lost
that
the
you
urges.
used the first time around, and you just simply applied them again. And so the second time around, what did your window look like then? What was your fasting protocol? And did you change up the sort of foods you were eating and try to address that and some of the problems you had with sugar and so forth?
Oh yes. I started with the Old Faithful 16:8. So I went to that, and slowly I did in a week or two, I went back to OMAD, my favorite actually. My favorite tool is definitely one meal a day, which is the leisurely meal we have over 4 or 5 hours. That is my Old Faithful actually. So I went back to that, and I lost the weight rapidly. I was really surprised, but within March to about June, in the 3 months or 4 months, I lost. I don't know my weight because I didn't have. I don't believe in weight because I'm a big bone woman, and I found that it's more of sizes I need to look at. So I found that my clothes, my underwear, my shirts were starting to fall off and looking really baggy again on me. And I'm like, yes, it's working. It's working. Something is happening. And of course, the biggest compliment is when my husband goes, oh, you're looking smaller. I'm like, yes, he sees me every day. It has to be real.
And it's not all about the weight
I
loss.
happen No, it's more about the health, because that's when my acne, thankfully, started clearing up again. And right now I have the best skin of my life going back into it because I added another tool in my belt, which I think people know about. It's called alternate day fasting. I found that that's more for me in my toolbox. It's more for healing in alternate day fasting, not really for weight loss. Because for me, I feel like when I go longer hours of this, for me, it's just the longest I've done is 36 hours. I'm not really an expert on that. But after I go 36 hours, I feel a sense of an energy boost after 20 hours of fasting. And then that care, it, this, I realized when I do my OMAD, I'm really very programmed, Graham, to start eating at 18 hours onwards, you see, because I'm very much a one meal a day person. But once I tried to do ADF, that was my next struggle. I went into that because I have a shoulder pain, a chronic shoulder pain, which I don't know, a muscle or something that has been here for ages, and nothing had solved it. The doctors had given me everything under the sun, like gels, creams, antibiotics. They said it wasn't a problem with my bone, probably scoliosis, but it was more of a muscle, maybe a muscle cramp or something. But it was just a chronic pain that was bothering me. And 3 months, 4 months into my next journey, I started feeling less pain. And I was thinking something has to have happened. And I think it was the prolonged fasting. But more or less, that helped me. And when it comes to eating, appetite correction, I started craving healthier things, Graham. It's so weird. I saw chocolate in my kitchen and I decided, no, I think I want some greens today. And I was like, oh my God,
Yeah, so you got to that
what
stage where you
happened?
became a food snob, like most of us do that sort of do intermittent fasting. You start off thinking, oh, yeah, I can eat everything and anything. And then all of a sudden, well, I find for myself, Isa, the longer I've done intermittent fasting, when it comes to my window, I just seek that higher quality food. And like the foods that I
Agree,
used to
agree.
like stuff down my neck, like no tomorrow, I just didn't have that same passion for them anymore. And I just sort of thought, well, if I'm only going to eat once a day, it's got to be pretty good. But a couple of things I wanted to ask you about there. With the so you had the acne, the knee pain, and the shoulder pain, and you mentioned alternate day fasting there. And just for people out there that may not know what alternate day fasting is, can you just briefly describe it in your own words, Isa, what it actually is?
Alternate day fasting is basically skipping a day of eating. Just one alternate day of not eating, and eating for more than 20, well, not eating for more for an entire day. So in my own words, it's just having lunch the previous day and stopping my and not eating until the next day.
Yep.
And that's usually, yeah, what works for me. And yeah, that's it. And there's many different types. People do down days and up days, where down days where they have a full day of not eating and a full day of eating. But the important thing is, after eating for not eating for a lot prolonged period of time, you make sure that you eat for at least 12 hours, 6 to 12 hours the next day. Don't eat just one meal a day, for example. It's very important so as not to break your metabolism and to make sure your food knows you're not in starvation mode. Your body knows, oh my gosh, there's no food. So I always make sure I have, after a down day of more than 24 hours, which is I've never exceeded 36 hours to be on, maybe 38 hours if I'm lucky, but I do it mostly for healing. And
Yep.
I do it maybe once a week or twice a week. I try to do it like I did try like Monday, Wednesday up days and down days. But with my lifestyle, Graham, I found out I still just go back to one meal a day. Do you, how about you? Did you ever try that?
No, the longest I ever
Did you ever
fasted
try it?
was 36 hours once, and that really was only by mistake. But my protocol when I was losing weight was 23 and 1. Basically, I did that for 7 days a week for 15 months till I got the weight off. I didn't really know about alternate day fasting, to be truthful, but I just had Rachel Arwood on the show actually a couple of days ago, and we had a great discussion about alternate day fasting, and she talked about it. So is what you're doing, is it what they call a mealless Monday? Do you join in on that? Do you usually do that one, or are you just...
Yes. I do a mealless Monday or a windowless Wednesday. Whatever. What I love about this lifestyle is whatever suits your lifestyle.
Yeah.
So whatever day that I'm not, whatever day that I'm not, whatever day that I'm not, I feel suits my life basically. If I'm not working that day, or I just choose a day in the week, either a mealless Monday, a windowless Wednesday, or I think what's it called, there's another coin term for, but you know, usually one day a week I'll just pick one. But usually, yes, you're right, just
Fearless
once a week.
Friday. There could be all sorts of names for it. But with the alternate,
Yeah,
do
all
you
sorts
do
of
the
names.
500 calorie option, or you just fast straight through the 36 hours clean?
I fast straight through
Yeah.
actually,
Okay. So.
and when I fast straight through, I actually have my trusty water and Himalayan salt with me. But you know, after the 20 hours fasting, Graham, I realized that I just need to get that mindset over. At first, my first alternate day fasting, I actually couldn't do it, and I was leaning on some old friends like Christina Sue. And I told her, what can I have at 500 at my 20th hour? And she was like, make soup. And I was like, what soup? And one tool I have is when I want to eat is, you know, pink Himalayan salt. I put it in hot
Yep.
water. So I just sip on that. So it's very comforting,
So
you
you
know.
mentioned
So I have
before, I just want to rewind a bit there,
that.
Isa. You talked about when you started
Sure.
intermittent fasting that you were dirty fasting, and then you switched over to the clean fast once you found out about it. What sort of differences did you sort of notice once you did that?
It was much faster. It was much easier to get the weight loss. I mean, it was much easier to get the appetite correction, I found, because if when I was 35, and I actually lost inches when I started clean fasting compared to dirty fasting,
Yep.
and the cravings were not
Yeah.
there compared to when I was dirty fasting. That was the main thing, actually. When I was dirty fasting, I was still hungry
Yeah, because you were
constantly.
spiking your insulin when you were dirty fasting, of course. And that's what's great about that clean fasting. We want to keep that insulin down as low as possible. It's really amazing. I mean, I'm pretty sure, Isa, that if I didn't clean fast right from the start of my journey, I'm fairly certain that I wouldn't have been as successful as I am. And I'm a really firm believer that you're really not fasting if you're not clean fasting. How do you feel about that?
Oh, that's mine too, actually. I don't I one meal a day. I feel like once I eat something, I spike my insulin, the fast is over. That's
Yep.
it. I'm very simple in that way. For me, I'm just very simple in that way. And I'm not in maintenance yet, unlike you, Graham, because the problem, the thing with me is I feel like, you know, your body has a set weight. My body is struggling. weight it knows now, but I'm losing it. It's really funny. Like just this week, Graham, I had people in real life asking me, what are you doing? You're so sexy. Huh. You know, the term they go, you're so cool now. You're so fit now. What did you do? What exercise protocol? You don't eat rice? Are you low calorie? Are you low this? I'm like, intermittent fasting. And to be fair, whenever I always post on my personal social media, Graham, I hear so many others my age who are really, they have the money. So they throw all their money in so many schemes to lose weight. And I'm just like, try this.
Have you got a plan in mind when you do get to maintenance? Yep. Is that something you've thought through about how you're going to handle that side of it? Because it's a totally different mindset to actually losing the weight. What sort of plan are you sort of putting in place for that now? Or are you thinking about it, or you're not really worried about it till you get there?
I'm not worried about it actually till I get there. Because, you know, in my mind, I think I'm still at that phase that I'll never end up at like my set. I don't have a set weight actually. It's really weird because my body, Graham, people think I weigh less than I am. And I really believe that's due to intermittent fasting's way of body recomposition, where I think I've built muscle or whatever, and I look like I weigh less than I am. Even my own husband thinks I weigh less than I am. And I'm just like, hey, that's my little secret, you know. but that's why it's hard for me to have a set what I'm gonna do when I lose it, because I want to go down to the size. Probably I'm now a UK size 10, 12, and that's crazy for me who I think that's a US 8 or something, I'm not sure. That's crazy for me, Graham, who used to shop like UK and Australian size 20s.
Yeah. Well, one of the things about clothing is obesity used to choose my clothes. Now I do. And I always had to shop at the big and tall stores and the plus size stores. And it was really horrible. And now I'm able to go into any clothes shop I want. But I think for mindset purposes, don't keep those what we call fat clothes in the big piles in the back of the cupboard. Just get rid of them. And if your clothes are getting baggy on you, then go and get some clothes that make you look good and you feel good. And that's going to motivate you as well. And don't keep those clothes hanging around. I'm a really strong believer in that.
You know, Graham, how I think there was a quote before, like you can't tell within 6 weeks, people can't tell, but people can tell you're losing weight like 3 months later or something like that. You ever go through where people wouldn't tell you you've lost weight, and suddenly a lot of people were telling you, oh, you lost weight, you've lost weight. I went through that where people, this is why the scale is a liar for me, because there was one point in my journey where I hadn't lost a pound. I was still the same weight. But for some reason, people were telling me, you look so skinny, you look so this. And I realized my inches my visceral fat had gone or something, because I was fitting into smaller and smaller clothes. And yeah, but I was the same weight. That's why the scale is not my friend. I don't check it. And I normally just really check on this. I don't, like right now, I wouldn't be able to tell you my weight. But I can tell you what sizes I wear, for example. You know? And people are always telling me, are you? Yeah, I go by my clothes. And like you, I'm Asian, Grams. I used to go to the XXXXL lady section. And like you as well, obesity used to choose my clothes. I used to be like, oh, look at that, that nice outfit. It fits me. I didn't care that it would, if it looked good on me, just that it fit me was enough for me to decide to buy it, you know? Kind of like, phew, I would go into a store and be like, ooh, this fits, I'll buy it. But did it look good? Oh my God. I look back at my fashion disasters back in the day, you know? And now I'm able to go into a normal, as they say, size store. I'm able to pick out clothes without trying them on and bring them home, and they fit. And it's always shocking to me. I always have that little happy dance, because especially with the COVID environment right now, you can't try on clothes, right? So I would buy something in a store, for example, or I will order something online. And before, Graham, I had body dysmorphia, where I thought I was a smaller size than I was. So for example, I would buy a size M, and it would come up to me in my house, and it would not fit at all. And I was like, oh. But now I buy a size M, and it fits me very well. And I think that's one of the good things. I had intermittent fasting, even though my scale hasn't gone down.
What sort of relationship did you have with the scale right from the start? When you first started, Were you conscious about the scale? Was that frustrating you, or you never really weighed every day when you've been going on this journey?
Oh, from the start, I weighed. From when I first started, I weighed, but I started getting frustrated because I would step on the scale. I would have my old weight, but everyone in the world was telling me, "You're so skinny, tell us your secrets." I felt like a fraud, Graham. I was like, I'm such a fraud. People are telling me I'm losing weight, but yeah, I haven't lost a pound. So that's what I felt. I was a fraud. And until I started reading up on intermittent fasting and realizing that I was probably losing inflammation, the water, the, you know, lots of other bad things, but replacing it with muscle, you know. And I was not sure what was happening, but I wasn't losing the weight properly, but I was shrinking somehow. I threw away the scale one day when I fit into something I had never fit in ages. I'm like, okay. And I think it was Kim Smith. I remember she inspired me when she told me her weight. I remember reading one of her posts in the group, and she told me her weight, and I was shocked. She was like, her weight hadn't moved. She was like 155 pounds. And okay, so I've been talking about kilos, but in my head, I was supposed to weigh 120 pounds, for example. And at that time, I was still weighing about 160. And I think I was in my head thinking, I'll never go down beyond this weight forever. And finding out that people like my idols, for example, weighed around my weight, realize it's not the weight I need to focus on. This game of intermittent fasting, well, not game, but it seems like a big, I feel like 90% of it is the mindset, it is, isn't it?
It's
Graham?
90% mental, it's like for the, sure, and 10% implementation. Yeah. I mean, as you said, once you got your mindset around it and you got into that groove and then you came back to it and you had those tools from the first part of your journey and you applied that mindset, and now I think you've really got it under control and you know how to do it. And
I was really trying my best to, you know, I don't know if this happened to you, but I also felt under the fasting peer pressure where I saw everyone started doing, you know, longer versions of fasting. You know, I also went through that mindset, Graham, because I tried all the protocols that Jin has in her new book, by the way. I mean, when that came out, I mean, there are all these new protocols of intermittent fasting, and I fell into a sort of trap where I thought the longer you fast, the better it was, Graham. Did that ever happen to you? For me, lucky you. For me, I fell into that. But you know what? Right now, it's September, and I went back into fasting in March, and I have found my protocol, which I guess is 19-5, where I normally break a fast with a hot drink. Whatever drink, you know, whatever, a chocolate drink or a apple drink or whatever drink. And then I've got my nice, proper, healthy meal. Whereas before, my meals used to consist of chocolate and, you know, junk food. Nowadays, it was crazy yesterday, Graham. I was breaking for my OMAD and I was looking at my kitchen. I could have easily made like cookies and, you know, peanuts and those kind of normal snacks. But instead, my brain said, make a salad. I want salad. I'm like, what?
You flip that switch in your mind, and now you're seeking that higher quality foods. And I think that's a real side effect of intermittent fasting. And the longer you go, that happens. But so with these sort of NSVs that you've talked about, with the acne and the shoulder pain and the knee pain, is all that sort of under control now? And have you found any other non-scale victories you want to talk about?
One thing I found are like little scars I used to have like when I hurt myself before, they would take a long time to heal. But these days, this is why I don't cook. I kind of slashed my finger from trying to chop food. But I found the scars healed faster. Like, I don't know. I just feel like I heal faster these days. Like, it's almost gone now within a week. And before, it would take me longer time, like 3 months for little old scars to finish. And my blemishes, even I found a lot of people have been touching my skin. That sounds so wrong, but in a good way. They're like, oh, you have soft skin. I feel like my skin has become softer. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's intermittent. Yeah, I feel like my skin is softer and not just my body skin, but my face and my face. When I used to be very much, you know what they call the pizza face, Graham? I had horrible acne. And I had a friend who saw me in March 20 before I fasted. And you know what? She was always telling me, you look haggard, you look tired. And I did. I had bloated up back in March, Graham. It was after my wedding, but I had bloated up. My wedding was my initial reason to lose the weight. But I was kind of, though I lost weight for my wedding, I was a bit bigger because I stopped intermittent fasting last year. But, you know, this friend who had seen me in March, she saw me again in August. And she looks at me and she goes, what are you doing? Your face has cleared up. You look like you're glowing. So I think that's NSV. Somehow, my skin looks more like I'm glowing these days. I don't know. I don't do much. I did improve my skincare, but I know that it's a lot of it has to do with the food I've been intaking and intermittent fasting, you know, because I've been.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I had the same thing, Isa. I had very bad psoriasis, and I had psoriasis for over 20 years of my life. And I was told by three specialists that you will never get rid of that psoriasis. You'll have it for the rest of your life. And I used to say to them, well, can I change my diet? Can I do something about my food? And they said, no, you're still going to have it. And I used to have it over the backs of my hands, my knees, my elbows. And it was really horrible. And I used to feel very self-conscious about it. 6 months of intermittent fasting, that completely disappeared from my body.
Yes.
And my skin rejuvenated.
That seems to be That seems to be the time frame, isn't it, Graham? The 6 months, because I feel like people who do intermittent fasting, they want to lose they want to see the results in a month. But hey, mate, you've been eating like that for crazy for years. Give it time,
well,
you know. And there are people tell me, there are a lot of people who tell me I haven't lost the weight. But to be honest, Graham, I also have a lot of friends on my social media who I am now supporting, and I help them in intermittent fasting. But they're going like, it's been a month, I haven't lost weight. And I'm like, wait. Yeah. And there was even one friend, she told me that she had this is a doctor thing. She had PCOS. I have PCOS as well myself, by the way. And I remember when I first started, I had a lot of cysts in my ovaries. Oh, I forgot this NSV. I had a lot of cysts in my ovaries, and my, I think it's a lifestyle reason because I was so much bigger. And my doctor that's why my doctor told me to eat 3 times a day, blah, blah, blah. When I went back for a check, my doctor was like saying, they've decreased. You've lost a lot of them. They've gotten smaller, or they've evaporated or whatever. And I'm like, and I wasn't taking any medicines or something. So I knew that intermittent fasting had helped me in some way. So if I ever decided to have a child, I think it would be much easier. Fertility, they say, is one thing. I'm still not on that road, but you know. But one thing, Graham, about that NSV of PCOS is also for women listening out there. My cramps used to be really, really difficult before I started intermittent fasting. But nowadays, they're not as painful. I mean, rather than having a week of being in pain with cramps, I get them in the beginning and that's it. I also think that's a result of the hormonal imbalances I have in my body, Graham, which intermittent fasting has helped
that's
me clear.
That's amazing,
up.
Isn't it? Absolutely amazing. I mean, we have so many health benefits around intermittent fasting, and it's a really important message for those listening out there that may be contemplating taking this up. It's not all about weight loss, and you might read about me and I've lost 130 pounds and all the rest of it. But the thing is, I had 130 pounds to lose. And whether you've got 5 pounds or 300 pounds to lose, it's all relevant. Mm-hmm. And if you're getting those health benefits, and to be honest with you, the health benefits that I've found through intermittent fasting equally as thrilling as losing the weight.
Exactly. The best part of me, honestly, is a feeling young woman out there, I feel like the confidence intermittent fasting has given me with my new body. I'm able to be healthy. I'm able to walk longer. I'm able to do more things. I don't get out of breath, you know. That's the big thing. And you know, I used to hide from the camera, Graham, but now I take selfies and pictures. I don't hide anymore. Before, all of my photos were carefully posed. Yeah. You know, I would be hiding behind something. I would be hiding behind my husband. I would be hiding behind anything just to hide my body. But now I'm like front and center in my pictures, you know, that confidence. I mean, it could also be a mindset, Graham, where I guess the relationship with my physical confidence and my mind has also shown me I don't need to look perfect to be healthy, kind of thing. Yeah. Which intermittent fasting has, the discipline from intermittent fasting has given me is that, like, even if you fail today, you can try again tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
With Aya.
Exactly. And if you've got to listen to your body sometimes, Izzy. You might have those days where, you know, you might feel weak, you might feel shaky, or you just don't feel right. And if your body's telling you, hey, you know, you might want to just shorten up that window today or close early or whatever it may be, then do it and listen to your body, because the next day is that. And I have so many people that ring me when we talk about the longer fast. They ring me on the Monday and they go, oh, my God, I just got on the scales and I put on 4 pounds over the weekend and I'm freaking out. And I say, I'm going to do a 45-hour fast. And I say, well, look, you don't have to do an extra long fast because you had a couple of pieces of cake on the weekend. That's not how it works.
Like, don't punish yourself.
Don't punish yourself, because that's what's called revenge fasting. And I think it's a really important message for people to understand that if they are going to do the longer fast and do them for the right reasons, like you are, for the health benefits. And I had Rachel Arwood talking about alternate day fasting, and that was one of the things she said, is for people not to feel pressured, or what you mentioned just before about the peer pressure of doing the longer fast.
Pressure,
you just got to live, find your own sweet spot. Don't compare yourself to others. Comparison's the thief of joy. It's your journey, and you have to find that niche, which is, I think, what you've done now, and you've got that window down, and you're doing the ADF now and again. You're mixing it up, and I think you're really on the right path.
I'm glad of that, Graham. I mean, I guess right now I've found my study protocol again, which is, like I said, the 1 meal a day protocol. Sometimes I do a 23-1 like yourself, Graham, because it's easier nowadays. That's also very successful. I found that fasting, breaking my fast about 19 hours in, that's given me the best body recomposition. And 16-8 is like maintenance. I don't lose, I don't gain. So I need to have more hours in. And alternate day fasting, I throw it in when I'm feeling not healthy, not when I'm feeling fat, to be honest. I use it to just kind of like feel better, like clean and detox and just restart for the next fasting. Because I don't do, I tried alternate day fasting for a month where I was like steadily 3 months of not eating, blah, 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 blah. I mean, no, a month of like 3 days of not eating. But nowadays, I'm settling back to just going back to my 1 meal a day. And I tighten up my windows on some days. I relax on more days. But what's crucial for me is daily 16 hours at least. That's my minimum daily. That's, if anyone asks me, what's the rule on this? Can I start at 9:15 tomorrow if I end at 8:15? I told them, don't be bound by the time. You know, for me, it's just like listening to your body. And if I don't feel hungry yet, I don't eat. You know, I don't know if that's the same thing with you, but like I found that I can listen to my body signals better after intermittent fasting. But there are some days I have crazy cravings where I want a cake and I listen to myself. I have my cake, but in my window, you know.
Yeah.
My sugar, my next journey, I think, will be curbing my sugar cravings. Graham, and having it less, because right now I still allow myself sugar in my windows, but lately it's so amazing. I feel like I want more healthier things, which I'm on that journey on. And probably when I hit maintenance, I will be going, hey Graham, you're right, sugar is not that important, you know.
Yeah, I think it's important to see what happened with me, Isa, is I was probably one of the worst sugar and fast food addicts going, probably in the top 10%. I was pretty bad. And I sort of made a decision to just go cold turkey on those addictions, and I just stopped. And it was a real fight within myself, and I had to go through some pretty brutal withdrawals for a few weeks, and it wasn't pretty. And
what were your withdrawal symptoms like?
Oh, terrible. Headaches. I spent 2 days in bed with the doona over my head, very hangry at times. Just in a very dark place. And it was like someone was tormenting me. Like I had all these voices in my head saying, come on, Graham, get in the car, go down to the drive-thru. And the drive-thru for me, Isa, was like a magnet, and I couldn't stay away from it. And I was going to ask you a question. I was a very bad closet eater when I was obese. Was closet eating something that was a problem for you as well?
Yes, I was a binge eater. I would like hide away. I would buy something, a treat, and just like stuff it in my mouth. I don't know. I think it's crazy. I would like, especially, you know, Grim, when I'm stressed at work, I have a fight with a friend, I have a bad issue, I would turn to food for comfort eating. And one big release that intermittent fasting has given me is I don't turn to it for eating, for comfort anymore. I look for other ways, like, you know, I don't know, other things, books or exercise or whatever. But one big cut I had to do was stop that closet eating. Because I used to just like stuff food in my mouth. And I swear, I would, people, but you know the good thing about it, Graham, do you believe in calorie control in
I've
your
never
window, or
counted
did you eat what you
calories
want in
or
your
any
window?
type of macro at all, Isa. I basically just worked on the
Me too.
principle of
I
just
love that.
eating
Me too.
to satiety when I was full. And I developed that appetite correction that we talk about, where you just get to that point where you go, right, okay, that's enough, I'm good. And even though my window during the week now, I do a 22 and 2 Monday to Friday. And then on the weekends, I do a 16 and 8. And I'll go and have a beautiful brunch with my wife, which is one of the joys of maintenance, which I love. And I know on the weekends that come Monday morning, my weight might be up, you know, a pound or two, but, you know, I'm not really fazed by that. And I just think to myself, you've got to live life as well. And this journey has to be sustainable. And intermittent fasting, if you're going to do it forever, it has to be a lifestyle that you can live with. And if you just punish yourself over and over again and you say, oh, I've got to restrict this and restrict that, and I can't go to this wedding or I can't go to this party. And I found that really difficult. And that was a question I was going to ask. How did your friends and family, how did they accept that you were doing fasting in the initial stages and even in the first round?
People panic when you tell them you're an intermittent faster, because it's something I think it takes a lot of bravery to say and do. At first, I was a silent intermittent faster, Graham. I didn't tell anyone I was doing it. I was thinking, what if I don't lose the weight? What if, you know, what if people find out I'm doing this but nothing happens? But when I started losing the weight, I became very vocal, and I would tell them. And at first, they all said, "Ugh, what?" They reacted with such. This was about 4 years ago, where it wasn't really the thing yet. People were reacting with horror. But the best convert I have in my
Wow.
life are my parents and
That's
my
amazing.
husband, because my mother, finally listened to me, Graham, and she lost a lot of weight. I was so happy. My father is still not there, you know, but my mother, because my father has eat healthy his whole life. It's only now he's gaining the weight because he's getting older. But my mother was, I think I got her body, you know. So she was a bit chubby, a lot more chubby. But she started telling me, she would tell me, "Honey, I've done what you do," because she saw me. We were living the same house before I got married. So she would see me not eating dinner. And she was like, at first, do you know what my mother would do? She would come to my room and she would
Ha.
give me food. Eat, eat, eat. She was so scared. She was so scared. And my friends at work, they would tempt me. They'd be like, "You haven't eaten lunch. You haven't eaten dinner." And I'm like, "Don't worry, I'll have a very wonderful dinner." And at first, my friends at work rejected the concept, but they saw that I was eating a huge dinner with them anyway. So they started thinking, and I was losing the weight. So I actually influence a lot of people at my work to start intermittent fasting. And I'm happy to say some of them are messaging me right at this very moment and asking me for tips nowadays. The very same people who used to be at intermittent fasting are now asking me for tips. So it will take
Yeah, I
time,
think
Graham, but
so.
I think, and I
We're going to
never
wrap
have
it up in a minute,
breakfast.
and this has been so great. But I really want you, if somebody out there is in a similar situation to yourself where they're feeling lost or hopeless, and I mean, obviously, the key message is please go and get Jin's books and Fast Feast Repeat, I think, is the most comprehensive guide to IF there is. But for you personally, if you were
Yes, her
telling
latest book.
your former self, if you had to go back and whisper in your ear about the steps to take and some key motivational words to close, what would you tell somebody?
You know, I would just be, I would, I don't have really any keywords because I feel like I'm still very amateurish in this journey, honestly, because I'm still not in my maintenance. I think until I hit maintenance, I wouldn't have any keywords for myself. But I would say, hey, just put the food down. You don't have to find comfort in food. You don't have to look at food as the only way to be happy. Because unfortunately with me, that was it. I'm still a very emotional person, but I was just eating constantly to make myself feel better about myself. And I didn't realize it was a double-edged sword because I was just eating more and I was gaining weight. I was eating more, I was gaining weight. So I was getting that temporary high after eating. Now I realize I get my temporary high after I fast and I feast after. So I would just tell myself, pick a window if you want to lose the weight. Pick a window and eat the best meal you have, but just one meal a day, you know, once a day. I really wish I had words of wisdom, but for me, I'm still struggling with myself, and I just want the world out there to know it is possible to lose the weight. And by the way, I've tried Herbalife, so it was one of those that I joined. So you don't, there's no miracle to losing the weight. It's consistent and daily fasting. That was it for me. There's no miracle. There's no short term. It's just pick a window, fast daily, and make smart choices.
Yeah.
And if you fail today, you can always try again tomorrow.
I think that's great advice,
I guess.
Isa.
That's all my main thing.
And I don't ever want to hear you say that you're an amateur again, because you're far from it. You're one of the shining lights in the community. And I think people really love how raw and honest you are. I say to somebody, look, it is possible. And if I can do this, anybody can. And that's the most basic way I can put it, because I know what base I came off and I know what a dark place I was and how obese I was. One of the things I really wanted to do was I said to my wife, okay, I want to be in maintenance for a year. And I want to prove that I can keep this weight off, and then I can start really sharing it and shouting it from the rooftops. And that's sort of where I want to be with it. And that's the reason why I started this and why I wrote the book. And I just hope it motivates somebody. And I know you motivate so many people. I really want to thank you for joining me here today on the Fasting Highway. It's been a real privilege for me to talk to you. You're someone I admire very deeply in the groups. And please continue on your journey.
Cheers. Thank you.
Okay,
have a great day. Bye-bye.
Wow, I really enjoyed that chat with Isa. What a delightful young woman she is. An absolute example for everybody out there. She's just so eloquent in the way she really approaches this lifestyle, and her honesty and the way she approaches things is just so fantastic. It's absolutely great. So next week, guys, I'm really thrilled to have with us Ryan Smith. And Ryan is a school teacher from Maine in the United States. And Ryan is the co-author of the book Unbelievable Freedom, along with his wife, Kim Smith. And Ryan has been a long-term intermittent faster who has seen many trials and tribulations on his journey. And Ryan is a real leader, and he has some great things to say, some great insights and some key takeaways. So don't miss that next week. Ryan's transformation is simply nothing short of sensational. And thank you for joining me, and we'll see you then.